Okay, the recording is started, and now we begin the first lesson, the first true lesson of the course, and today we have to give you the basics of sound, understanding what is sound, why it happens, what are the sound sources, how the sound propagates, and how the sound is received by the human hearing system. Sound is generally described as pressure variation of a medium. The medium can be fluid, like a gas or a liquid, or can also be a solid. The sound travels also in solid, and actually it usually travels quite fast in solid, quite faster than in air, for example. The sound propagates with local motion of particles. This means that each particle of the medium don't travel a lot. When I am talking, I am not launching air from my mouth which travels up to your ears. It's not a flow motion. Sound is local motion. We will go to explain this better. But what it matters is that even if the motion is local, there is motion. So the pressure variation are associated and substantially interconnected with a certain particle velocity. The medium cannot be vacuum. In the vacuum there is no sound. There must be a medium. The medium is made by molecules, by physical atoms, molecules, matter. There is some matter. This matter moves. If the matter don't move, there is no sound. That's the point. We hear the pressure variation. Human hearing system is a pressure detector. So you can think that pressure is the effect. But the cause is motion. The air particle moves back and forth around their steady state position. So they are not traveling for meters in the room, but they are moving back and forth around that position. So a sound field is a region of a medium, of air normally, but also of water, in which there are both particle motion, particle velocity, and pressure fluctuation. The two things are interconnected, but are not the same thing. There can be points where there is a lot of pressure and little or no velocity. There can be points of the same sound field where the opposite occurs. There is a lot of velocity and very small pressure. All those things can happen. So the two physical quantities which are involved in sound generation, propagation and perception are pressure and particle velocity, and both are important. This is a very powerful concept. It is not what is written in textbooks. Textbooks only talk of pressure, and no mention is given to particle velocity. And that, of course, is wrong. It's like in an electric circuit, looking only at voltage and not at the intensity of current. It's actually the same thing. Sound propagation involves pressure and particle velocity, exactly as an electrical current flowing in a circuit involves voltage and current. Looking only at voltage is only half of the picture. Okay? So it is very important to understand the duality of the sound field. Then there are quantities which traditionally are object of measurement or evaluation, perceptual evaluation, and these quantities are amplitude and frequency. Amplitude tell you if the sound is loud or weak. Whoa, 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 big amplitude. Whoa, 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 weak amplitude, okay? Frequency has to do with the pitch of the sound. Boom, low frequency. High frequency, okay? So it's a two-dimensional space, frequency and amplitude, usually amplitude is vertical, frequency is horizontal, as in the chart which I've shown you in previous hour, and for evaluating a sound, you usually aim to evaluate it in terms of amplitude and in terms of frequency. These are the two most relevant evaluators of the sound. Altru, the physical quantity, are pressure and particle velocity. But no one is telling you, oh, here, a sound of 3 Pascal, Pascal is a measure of pressure, or, oh, here, a sound of 0.1 meter per second. No one says that, okay? So, altru, the physics, is pressure and particle velocity. The perceptual evaluator of sound are amplitude and frequency. Frequency is the number of oscillation in a second and is the reciprocal of the period. The period is the time in second required for one complete oscillation. These pressure variations are typically periodic. It comes back to the original position after a complete cycle, okay? So, typically, frequency and period refers to a periodic signal. Not all the sound is periodic. Most is periodic, but not all. There is also a periodic sound. We will see this later. Other quantities which we are going to explain today or perhaps next week are the wavelength and the speed of sound. The wavelength is like the waves of the sea. When you are at the sea and there are waves, you see that there is some distance between the top of two following waves. The same, of course, with sound. As the sound travels in air, when in one point there is a maximum of pressure, this maximum of pressure moves due to the sound propagation. After one complex cycle, a new maximum of pressure will be at the origin of sound, for example at my mouth. And the distance between one maximum and the next is called the wavelength. This is a very important concept because the sound interacts with object based on its wavelength. If the object is small compared to the wavelength, the object is not there. For the sound, there is no object. The sound passes through it. If the object is large compared to the wavelength, the object is blocking the sound. So the sound cannot pass through an object which is much larger than the wavelength. So evaluating the wavelength is very important when you are going to study the interaction of the sound with object. Finally, there is the speed. Speed is not velocity. For English mother tongue people, this is obvious. In English, there are two different concepts which every child learns at elementary school, what is speed and what is velocity. In Italian, it's much more difficult because both English words, velocity and speed, are translated the same as velocità. For Italian people, velocità is the same as speed or as velocity in English. So, this will not be easy for you to understand, if you are Italian, of course. Because for us, no one did train us since elementary school discriminating velocity from speed. Okay? So, the speed of sound is how fast the wave travels, not the air particles. The particle velocity is how fast each particle moves around his equilibrium position. There are absolutely no relationship between these two quantities. Absolutely no. They are independent quantities. Speed of sound only depends on temperature of air. And that's all. Given one temperature of air, there is a formula which gives you the sound speed. Instead, particle velocity is related to amplitude. You double the amplitude, you double the particle velocity. So the particle velocity is actually the quantity, the physical quantity, related to what we call the amplitude of a sound. A loud sound has a lot of particle velocity. A weak sound has small particle velocity. Okay? Two completely independent concepts. A weak sound travel with the same speed as a loud sound. They all travel with the same speed. Okay? Actually, I can tell you that the speed of sound in air the speed of sound in air usually is called g, small g, is equal typically to 340 meter per second, which is a quite huge speed. It is more than 1,000 kilometers per hour. In fact, an aircraft usually does not exceed the speed of sound. When an aircraft runs faster than the speed of sound, it has a lot of troubles. It is a supersonic aircraft. It must be very tough because it has to break the sound wall. All the sound pressure packs traveling at the sound speed in front of the aircraft, and when the aircraft has to pass through this heavy concentration of acoustical energy, it risks to be destroyed. Because really there is a lot of pressure there. A pressure so large that it can detach the wings from the aircraft. So, actually, the sound speed is large, but it is not as large as the speed of light. Light is almost instantaneous. Light is 300,000 meters per second. Kilometer per second. 300 million meters per second. So it is incredibly larger than the speed of sound. All of you probably know the trick for evaluating how far is a lightning during a storm. There are lightning, bang! And when the lightning starts from the ground, drops and goes up to the clouds, usually the most lightning go up, only a few lightnings go down. But for us this is the same. You see the spark, and only after a few seconds you hear the thunder, the sound. If you count how many seconds pass between the lightning, the light of the lightning, and the sound of the lightning, the thunder, you count the sound, count the time in seconds, multiply by 3, and more or less you get the distance in kilometers, because you make 340 meters per second. So if you have a 3-second delay, it means that the sound traveled for 1 kilometer. Okay? More or less. So, the concept is that for the sound to be able to travel, you need a medium. But the medium must be elastic. What is an elastic medium? It's like a medium made of springs. A spring is elastic, okay? The elasticity of the medium means no energy dissipation. If the medium is not elastic, the sound energy will be converted quite quickly in air and disappear. If the medium is perfectly elastic, like air, the sound travels for several kilometers before being transformed into air. So, in an elastic medium, the sound travels for very long distance. In a not elastic medium, the sound travels only for a few wavelengths, perhaps 10, 50 wavelengths, and then it is completely extinguished. So, in practice, we have the need of an elastic medium. Air is almost perfectly elastic. Only at very high frequency it starts to have some energy dissipation. Water is even more elastic than air. In water the sound travels all the ocean through. There are waves who call each other from the two sides of the Atlantic Ocean, making their singing to travel for more than 500 kilometers. No problem. In some cases, it was possible to hear the call of the whale at 2,000 kilometers distance. So, underwater, the sound propagation is incredibly good. But also in air, the dissipation is very weak. So, for having your sound in your ears, you need two ingredients: a sound source and an elastic medium. Of course, you hear the sound if there is someone radiating energy inside the elastic medium. If everyone is silent, there is no sound. Okay? There must be a source, there must be an elastic medium. The most basic example which you can find on every textbook is the piston source. A piston is a rigid baffle being forced to move back and forth with perhaps some sort of sinusoidal or cosinusoidal time law. So the position S of this baffle changes in time, T is time, following this law. SO or S0 is the maximum travel either forth or back, and omega is the angular velocity, also called pulsation, of the sound. So with this kind of formula you drive the motion of your rigid body. This rigid body acts over the air contained in this duct, in this pipe, in this tube, and the sound starts propagating along the tube. When the piston goes forward, it is going to compress the air and the pressure will become larger than normal atmospheric pressure. When the piston travels back, the air is expanded, the pressure decreases, and it goes below the pressure of the average pressure of air in your room. So there are positive and negative fluctuations of pressure above or below the static average pressure. The region in which the pressure is larger are shown here as packed region. The region where the pressure is lower are shown here as rarefied region, where the air particles are more far apart one from the other. This region moves to the right. The compression region travels to the right, and also the expansion region travels. You see very well what happens if you see the motion of the particle of air. This animation shows you the piston going back and forth and the air particles. Please fix your eye on one of these particles, for example this one. These particles here, you see where I place the marker, oops, here. In this position there was an air particle which go right and left, right and left. The particle never go along the pipe. It stays here. So it is a local motion. It is not an air flow along the pipe, but each particle bounces over the next one, which bounces over the next one, and so on. So they give the push each other. It's like when you are in the tail for your cafeteria for getting lunch. If the last in the tail push the guy in front of him, this will push the next one, who will push the next one, and so on. At the first in the row, we receive the push in his back. This is how sound propagates. As the medium is elastic, it takes time to the air particle to squeeze against the next one. And this limits the speed of sound. If it was a rigid body and not an elastic medium, as you press in the end of a rod, for example, of a rigid rod, also the other end and all the points in between will move simultaneously right. But that is a rigid body. If it is an elastic body, when you first start pressing, here, nothing is happening. It takes time before this compression and rarefaction travels through the pipe. If you squeeze your eyes, you don't see any more the particles. You only get the impression of something flowing. These are the black area corresponding to the region where the particles are close each other, where the pressure is larger. That is the sound speed. The speed of the black region moving. Now I try to track such area. You see, I am trying to follow one of those compression regions. Okay? So the speed of this tracking is the speed of sound, which has nothing to do with the motion of the particle. The particle can move much faster or very slowly, causing a loud or a weak sound. But the wave will always travel at 340, more or less, meter per second. Okay? So, looking at the previous formula, this cosinusoidal law, here we can identify some interesting quantity. Of course, S0 is the amplitude. Wow. Bah, too bad. However, this is the amplitude. The larger is zero, the louder will be the sound. But the quantity inside the bracket, omega t, has to do instead with frequency. Writing this way so hard. Next time I will bring them out. So f is the frequency, the number of oscillations in a second, and it is measured in Hertz. Omega instead is the angular velocity and is measured in radians per second. As a complete oscillation is 2 pi Greek radians, the relationship between omega and f is that 2 pi Greek f equates omega, or if you prefer, as shown here, f is omega divided 2 pi Greek. This is the frequency of sound, is measured in Hertz. And what is very important is that we can hear the sound if it has a frequency bounded between more or less 20 and more or less, I would say, less 20 kHz, 20,000 Hz. Going on with age, the upper limit goes down, reduces. At my age, 55, current limit is around 14,000, is not 20,000 anymore. A 20-year-old, the limit is currently around 20 kHz. Children can go up even to 25 or 28 kHz. So the upper limit depends on age and is proportionally reducing while we are becoming older. Okay? When the sound is between these two frequencies, it's called sound. When it is below 20 Hz, it's called infrasound. So infrasound is very low frequency sound. And instead, if you are above 20 kHz, oops, infrasound. If you are above 20 kHz, that's called ultrasound, ultrasonics, and so on. Infrasound is below 20 Hz, ultrasound is above 20 kHz. Ultra, okay. What is important is to analyze the higher particle motion. First of all, we have the hypothesis of adherence. When the piston moves, the first layer of higher molecules is attached to the moving body. It never goes into cavitation. Of course, it could be wrong. if the motion of the piston is faster than sound speed, then it will make cavitation, and it will not be any more true that when the piston goes back, the air particle stay attached to the piston. But in most cases, the sound source has a particle velocity which is much smaller than speed of sound. This means that the adherence hypothesis is true, and this also means that the motion law for the piston is exactly the same as the motion law for the air particles. The only thing we will change is some delay. So the air particle being here will have exactly the same equation as the piston with a delay here in time. So the time will be delayed because it takes time to travel this distance. And we know how much time. The time is the distance divided C, where C is the speed of sound. So the hypothesis of adherence means that we know the motion law of the air particle inside the duct. But we are not really interested in the displacement of the particle measured in meters. We are mostly interested in particle velocity. Why? Because, more or less, velocity is proportional to amplitude, to pressure, to how loud is the sound. Displacement is not really proportional to how much we hear the sound to be loud. Velocity is the relevant one. What we need to do for getting velocity, knowing displacement. It's very simple. Everyone knows velocity is the derivative of displacement. If you make another differentiation of velocity, the derivative of velocity is acceleration. So, knowing the motion, you can make the first derivative and get velocity. You make another derivative and you get acceleration. You see that when you make the first derivative, an omega comes out, and when you make the second derivative, another omega comes out, so you get squared omega. These are the motion formula, the kinematic of the sound. This equation describes how the air particle moves. This is only half of the pressure, of course, or half of the picture, because the pressure is the other information. How much the pressure changes while the wave is traveling. This is related to elasticity of the medium, of course. Then we see the concept of wavelength. We have seen in the previous animation that there are dark areas, compression regions, and white areas, rarefaction regions. And those black stripes move with constant speed to the right. The wavelength is the distance between two maxima, and the distance, the wavelength, is related to sound speed. If the sound speed was larger, the sound had traveled a longer distance in the same time, so the wavelength will be longer. So there is a very simple mathematical relationship between lambda, the wavelength, and C, the sound speed. The relationship is this one, lambda equal C divided F. So lambda is proportional to C and inversely proportional to F, because the larger the frequency, the shorter the period, the shorter the wavelength. Okay? So this is the relationship between speed of sound, frequency, and wavelength. Finally, the sound speed. The sound speed, as said, only depends on temperature. The correct thermodynamic formula predicting the true sound speed is this one. Square root of gamma Rt. Gamma is the exponent of the adiabatic law, I don't know what, how much do you know about gas dynamics. There is this equation for the adiabatic transformation for a perfect gas in which this gamma exponent enters. P multiply V rise to gamma is constant. This is the equation of the adiabatic expansion or compression. So gamma is this number and it equates 1.41 in air, but in any other diatomic gas actually, also in hydrogen, also in nitrogen, also in oxygen, and so on. R is the gas constant, which for air is 287 joule / kilogram Kelvin, is constant, is the perfect gas constant of air, and T is the temperature in Kelvin, the so-called absolute temperature. There is an approximate version of this formula, which does not require to compute the square root, but it is not as accurate as this one. This is an empirical formula which only works around 20 degrees, around normal room temperature, say between 0 degree and 40 degrees. In this range you can use this approximate formula. For much smaller or much larger temperature, please use the correct thermodynamic formula, which holds at every temperature. Even if T becomes 1000 Kelvin, this is still correct. This is not. Okay? So, due to the previous relationship between frequency and wavelength, you have this chart, which relates the wavelength in meter to the frequency in air. A very simple relation is that at 1 kHz, which for many regions is considered the center of the audible range, and it is a very nice and round number, 1000 Hz, 1 kHz, here the wavelength is 34 centimeters. So it is 0.34 meters. Of course, at 10 kHz, the wavelength will only be 3.4 centimeters. At 100 Hz, it will be 3.4 meters. Okay? Longer than this table at 100 Hz. And going down and down, the wavelength becomes very huge. Acoustics is a wave field, a wave phenomenon, in which the wavelength change a lot. Make a comparison with light. Many people think that sound and light follow very similar laws. This is only partially true, because the wavelength of light only change very, very little. The visible range of light is between 400 to 700 nanometers. So the longer wavelength is not even twice the smaller wavelength. There is not a ratio of two. The ratio between smaller and larger wavelength for light is less than two. Here we have a ratio which is 10,000, three decades. It is decuplied three times. Okay? So, really, it's huge, the dispersion of wavelength. So, what is true for light is not necessarily true for sound. A body can be reflecting the light, and you say, okay, so it will also reflect the sound. That's definitely true for a certain range of frequency, which means a certain range of wavelength. For example, the screen of this computer is quite small. It's perhaps 30 centimeters wide. It's reflecting my voice at 10 kHz because it is much bigger than the wavelength. So this is a very good reflector at 10 kHz. But at 10, at 100 Hz, this body is simply caccola. Okay. It's something very small compared to the wavelength. So the sound passed through the screen and is not reflected back because the wavelength is much larger than the body. So the comparison with air is not fair. With light is not fair. The two things can be very different. Okay, this is the last slide before the interruption. The sound speed in air is 340 meters per second, and is at 20 degrees, more or less. The sound speed in water is much faster, around 1,500 meters per second. So the sound travels very, very fast underwater. This also explains why it travels through the whole ocean. But it also explains why, while you are underwater, you cannot understand where the sound is coming from. And here we are already talking about psychoacoustics. How can we tell the direction of arrival of sound? One of the direction tool we have is based on the interaural time delay. The sound coming from left arrives first on the left ear, then on the right ear, and it passes more or less 1 millisecond for making this path between one ear and the other. Our hearing system detects this time delay and triangulates with this time delay and decodes the direction of arrival of sound, because these time delay are large in air. When you go underwater, sound is much faster. Those delay shorter. Now the sound passing from left ear to right ear only takes 0.3 or 0.2 second, a millisecond. 1/4, 1/5 of the time it was taking in air. So for our hearing system, it becomes impossible to detect this time delay, which is much shorter. So whatever is the direction of arrival of sound underwater, you cannot understand where it is coming from. And this can be dangerous. You are a scuba diver, you need to go up, you hear the noise of a boat arriving, but you cannot understand from which direction the boat is arriving. From this, the good rule, why going up, to turn around, so you look all around, because your hearing system does not warn you about the direction of arrival of a boat. In solids, the sound speed is even larger. For solid, the formulas giving you the sound speed is different than in air. And the formula is this one, the square root of the elastic compression modulus divided the density of the solid. Here there is a list of material. Sorry, the names are still in Italian. Acciaio is steel, aluminium is aluminium, calcestruzzo is concrete, gomma is rubber, legno is wood, marmo is marmor, mattoni pieni is bricks, piombo is lead, rame is copper, sabbia is sand, and so on. In every of this material, you see a different sound speed. In rubber, is quite slow, because rubber has a very small elastic modulus. But in other material, and particularly in metals, the speed is very high. In steel, it is 5,000 meters per second. In aluminium, is even larger, 5,800. Do you know what is the material with the larger speed? You know, the solid material where the speed is larger is wood. Is the wood growing in Trentin, in Val di Fiemme, for being more precise, is called resonance wood, is the wood of which the Stradivari violins were made, where the speed of sound can reach 7,000 meters per second. That is the solid material with the higher sound speed, larger sound speed, because it is very light, so the density is small, but it is very stiff. The elastic modulus is very large, comparable with steel, but it is much lighter. The pine wood is light. Okay? So that is the faster speed. Here it is written 3,300, that's normal wood, not resonance pine wood. Normal wood is small, but for resonance pine wood coming from Val di Fiemme, that is the CNO material with higher speed. Okay, any question? So this first hour is finished.